Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
there's a lady. There's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gown right here in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am joined by Contrere. We are getting into that Christmas season, Contrere. How's the Christmas shopping going?
Oh, it's fine. I use Amazon. I ain't going nowhere.
Oh man, I actually did Black Friday this year, which is insane. Which I found out like the same deals were on Amazon, so I feel like a fool after that. But you know what? I'll probably do it again. So whatever.
Yeah, my mom and sister were they got up in the middle of the night and went shopping about 12 in the morning. I said, fuck that, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I don't believe you, man. Seriously, it was absolutely insane. I mean,
yeah.
People were going crazy over absolutely nothing, you know? Like, it was just, I don't know. All right, so.
I'd rather pay full price and just go when I'm not going to be threatened by anybody.
Yes, that is true. That's true. All right, there's a couple things I want to touch on before we get into everything. All right, first off, we are proud members of SuperFriendsUniverse.com. And as most people that go there know, a lot of the blog talk radio shows are being essentially emailed and threatened, like with that's their words, not ours, that they have to become a premium member. Katrina and I are already premium members. We already are. But, like, it's, you know, it was actually kind of an accident, and,
yeah, it was.
You know, but yeah, I know it was kind of an accident, and that's just, you know, we have a good, you know, prime time spot or whatever. But they want you to send in a petition to the service at blogtalkradio.com and, you know, send an email or do whatever you have to do in order to try keeping everybody from, you know, losing the show. Because, you know, of course, we don't want everybody to lose the show. I'm a little bit too nervous to have the only show out there. So, you know, I need Ed's show out there to make us look good. Yeah, it'll be a little bit too much pressure, you know. And,
oh, shit, I hope Ed don't try to get no money out of me.
Yes, that's the biggest fear. Well, see, Contrere paid the last lot, and I'm sure I will end up paying the next one. So, which is fine. You know, I have no problem being premium, but not everybody can afford that, and it's just not fair to be forced to do that, or
yeah,
you know, or go down to a half hour show, which is, you know,
yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm not gonna be in the poorhouse to spend like so much a month to do it, so I don't care. So
yeah,
not really an issue for me, but I know other people. Most of them do it because it's free. That's the main reason people do it, probably.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's just, you know, you have an opportunity to, you know, do this for free, and you know it's fun, and it's a way for, you know, people to, you know, talk about wrestling, talk about whatever they're doing. So it's a pretty cool thing, I think. So
yeah,
you know, let's try not to let that happen. If it happens, it happens. That would stink, but. You know,
well, inevitably, it's a pretty successful site, so inevitably something like this is going to happen, you know?
Yeah, of course, you know, I mean, I figured, and I'm sure these emails aren't going to do anything, but, I mean, at least try. I've sent my email, and, you know, it's good to at least try.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into WCW. All right, so when we left off, Contrere, there was a little bit of turmoil in the New World Order. Macho Man is hitting Nick Patrick, and they kind of broke off into two sides. So we don't really know what's going on with, you know, the whole NWO. And, like, we've seen it years past after that, of course. Like, this was kind of the beginning of teasing a heel turn and just not going through with it. And this is like the first one that, you know, kind of did like, you know, partners who didn't like each other. I pretty much, from what I remember. All right. So let's
it would eventually lead into the Wolfpack thing later in, at the end of the year.
Yeah, let's...
When they end up splitting.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this, though. All right, now the first Nitro, it's actually the last Nitro before we're going into Slamboree, I believe, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, they're setting up a heel versus heel match at Slamboree with Alpha Dragon versus Lord Steven Regal. And Lord Regal is like the ultimate heel. Everybody that wasn't in the NWO kind of had like a different kind of heel heat. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like NWO kind of had like the cool heel heat. And
it wasn't that they were so much hated. It's just like, I guess they were supposed to be the bad guys, but really they were a little bit too cool to be heels at times, especially Nash and Hall.
Yes, exactly it. So it was good to have like a guy like Regal that could be like a throwback heel that, really did a lot to add to WCW. I was really pleased with it. So Alto Dragon defends the title against Hoovy, beats him. Dean Malenko, who will eventually be in the Horsemen later on, beats Steve McMichael. I believe there's some there's more interference going on.
Reggie White gave Mongo a big splash after the referee took a bump and then Malenko got the pin.
Which is so great. I mean, seriously, so great. Just because, I understand why they're doing this feud because it's football players against each other. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just so stupid. WCW, debuted their big screen on the show.
They're what? Their big screen?
Their big screen.
Oh, okay. Did they have it first? I think maybe Raw had it first for them, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They copied it off of the WWF.
If you look back when the NWO first got started, they had no screens, and look how much stuff was going on in the back. I don't know if anybody was supposed to see anything, like on those Nitros and stuff.
Yeah, because no one had, any idea what was going on in the back then. And also, before 1997, when wrestlers were giving up, they would just say, "I quit," or shake their head or whatever. But it was right around 1997, 98, where there was the tap out. They would tap out, like in UFC. And, I don't remember exactly when it happened, but it was so awesome that they made that switch over. Because now,
I think Taz was doing it in ECW, in 96.
Yeah.
He was probably the first one. And then when Ken Shamrock came in 97 WWF, I think that's when they started doing it. He was doing all the MMA stuff.
Yeah. Taz was awesome in ECW. I was a pretty big fan of his.
He was a scary motherfucker.
Yes. Rab.
He was like a Scott Steiner or somebody. He's a dude who's crazy. He's going to go off on you. He's scary.
He was a very terrifying man.
Which shows you how great Paul Heyman was in getting a guy like that to where everybody's scared of him.
I know. You think, you see a guy like Taz. Like, I remember in St. Louis, I was actually eye level, or not eye level, but, I was on the floor, and Taz was on the floor, 30, 40 feet away from me. And you just see how short he really is. He's a very little man. And, they built him up as such a badass.
Yeah, I think he was shorter than Dean Malenko.
Oh, I think he is, yeah. a short, stout man. All right,
yep.
Rath beat Scotty Riggs. Just destroyed him. Poor Scotty Riggs. He's a good jobber to have, but, I mean, poor guy, never get a break. And Glacier comes out, and they do their, you know, the boring stare down. And, you know, what are you going to do? Just sit there and watch them stare at each other, but whatever. And Hugh Morris and Conan, the awesome Dungeons of Doom. And they also teamed with, hang on, no, they defeated Ice Train and Alex Wright, which this was when Alex Wright was turning heel, right?
I think it was. It was like, you know, around the summer of 97 or, you know, early summer of 97 when this was going on. And he made an awesome heel. I loved him.
He was great as a heel. Just so cocky.
Actually,
like,
finally got a decent push, too. Later on in the summer.
yeah, because this show, remember distinctly, it was so obvious Alex Wright was turning the second he came out. Because you know when the wrestler is going to turn heel, it's out of nowhere, like, they all of a sudden, like you know, they have, like, a darker look a little bit, and they, like, are walking a different way, and they're not paying attention to the fans like they normally do. This is one of those times.
he had that great heel dance he was doing. He was doing that back in 94, you know? I mean, people want to boo this guy.
Yes. Yes, they do. Oh, so great. Roddy Piper is in the back, beaten up by Kevin Nash and Sick, and they said that he has an injured hip again. Because, as you guys know, the main event of Slamboree is Hall, Nash, and Sick versus Ric Flair, who doesn't pick his own partners in the Four Horsemen for this match. He picks Roddy Piper with his bad hip and a non-wrestler, Kevin Green, who was a football player. This was one of the weirdest things WCW did at the time. I remember thinking, like, why? Why is this happening? But
yeah, well, the Kevin Green thing, it was because they were in Charlotte, and that's where he played football. So, and it was Flair's first match back from his rotator cuff injury, and, you know, he's from Charlotte, so, and Piper was his friend, so I guess that's how they fit all that in. Mongo should have been here.
I could see how it works, like, in real life. But in the storyline, they, like, kind of, like, reveal that they're friends. Because, like, Flair and Piper on TV were never friends. They never got along. They were always feuding in NWA and in WWF. So all of a sudden, they're just best buddies? When did this even happen?
Well, they had kind of established it, like, when Piper first came in late in 96, Flair came out and said this is like his best friend and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
You remember? It was like
yes,
in December of 96 when Flair came out and, you know, he and Piper said they were like the best of friends and stuff like that. So.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. All right, so we are... Wasn't it? Yeah, Bischoff comes out, right? Yeah, Bischoff comes out, and he comes to introduce Sting. Because as you guys know, at the pay-per-view before this, Sting beat up the NWO. So Sting's music plays, and all of a sudden the NWO Sting comes out. And... you know, Sting's not talking, so Bischoff has NWO Sting not talking. And he asks him, like, hey, will you ever compare to Hulk Hogan? And he shakes his head, no. And then, of course, Sting comes out and gives him the death drop, and then Bischoff runs away.
This is getting lame at this point. All this Sting stuff. To me, anyway.
Well,
let Sting stuff over.
Yeah. That was the end of Nitro, too, I think. I think that's how Nitro ended.
Let's see. I think there's a little bit more.
I'm pretty sure that was the end of the show.
Yeah, that's what, that was the end of the show.
Yes, yes, that's what I thought. All right, so let's give it that pay-per-view.
Okay.
Slamboree, 1997. All right, now let's get to that first match.
Okay. Let's see, Slamboree, let me find it real quick. Hold on, okay, I got it. Steve Regal made Ultimo Dragon submit with the Regal Stretch to win the TV title back for the fourth time. I don't really remember the match. In fact, I don't even think I saw this show. Huh. Yeah, this was back when I didn't have pay-per-view this time. So.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, what happened was I watched this pay-per-view. I had a cheater box. So the story of this match is it's heel versus heel. And Sonny Ono is the heel Ultimo Dragon's manager. And, you know, they're cheating throughout the match. And Ultimo Dragon doesn't want him to cheat for him. So he finally yells at Sonny Ono for kicking Regal. And Ultimo Dragon yells at him. And then when he's back in the ring, Sonny Ono kicks Ultimo Dragon in the back of the head. And then, you know, Regal gets him to tap out. And then as Ono's walking away, he screams, "I make champions, and I can destroy them." Awesome. Awesome storyline. And then they have the epic battle between Medusa and Luna Vachon. Luna Vachon was never a wrestler's wrestler. She looked scary, but she was always just awful. She's just,
you know,
really bad.
I heard, like, when Medusa was, like, a Linda Blaze in WWF, and I would read, like, the aftermags, and they were saying, now, finally, we've got a good wrestler to go against Medusa. And I don't know. I never saw it in Luna Vachon. Maybe I'm wrong or something, but she didn't seem that much different from just, like, some of the older women, just like a kick and punch offense and stuff like that. I mean, she didn't seem anything that special to me other from a goofy haircut and a bad voice.
No, yeah, that's exactly what it was. It's exactly what it was. And it's just,
she's better as a ballet beating the shit out of somebody. I mean, instead of wrestling an actual match.
Just so awful.
Yeah. God rest her soul.
Yes. Rest in peace, Luna. Sorry about that. But, so Medusa just beats her. Then she takes off her thing and shows her bra.
A few years ago, I watched one of the seasons of Hell's Kitchen. Her son was one of the chefs. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Like her. Who just like her. I don't know if that's bad or good, but it's pretty interesting.
All right, so Macho Man and Elizabeth come out.
Oh, this is awesome.
Explain it the best you can.
I love this. They go to the ring, and DDP comes out of the crowd with a metal crush and chases them off. Then the NWO's B team comes out, and they kind of holding him back. And the best line of all time, he said, DDP says, "Savage, I don't think you got to leave because you got a date with Liz. I think you got to go to Hogan's house and wash his car and kiss his ass." Which is like the one of the all time greatest lines. And to Savage's credit as a heel, that's something he should have been pissed off at. So he came to the ring, and he said, and Savage, you know, he's crazy anyway. So he hits the ring and just gets beaten up with his crutch, and then like Norton and Vincent hit the ring, and I mean, DDP, he's swinging for the fences. He's like Martin McGuire. I mean, he's just winding up, and he's just going to town. And then they get the advantage on him, and the Giant comes out. But yeah, he's got to go over to Hogan's house and wash his car and kiss his ass. That's an awesome line.
And he actually calls.
I doubt Savage would have been over there washing his car. I'd save that for Beefcake or somebody. They probably wouldn't does that.
One funny thing is Macho Man calls him Virgil Vincent. He goes Vincent Virgil. And then I actually watched earlier today, I was watching the Brutus the Barber Beefcake, or Brother Brutus, I remember, shoot interview. And boy, does this guy come off horribly. I need to go on a little rant real fast. All right. He's talking about his friendship with Hogan and stuff, of course. And you know when he first debuted and he was a heel and he wore, like,
yeah,
his bow ties and stuff like that? Well,
yeah.
Yeah, when I came out, you know, no one had ever seen anything like that, you know? So the crowd was reacting. Boy, was I over. And then he was talking about how him and Hogan were in Memphis down the card. Like, they lost, like, 80% of the building because they didn't care unless they were the main event and stuff. It's like, you know, wow, are people full of themselves, you know? Like, are you going to go to a wrestling show, Contreras, because Brutus Beefcake is showing off his ass cheek to his pants? Is they going to draw you to a show?
I'll say this about Beefcake. He was lucky he had Hogan. And when he became the barber, that was an awesome gimmick, I thought. The guy that's going to cut somebody's hair at the end of every match, of course he's going to get over. Jesus Christ, like the easiest thing in the world. You know?
Yeah,
everybody wants to somebody get their hair cut, so they're going to cheer for the guy.
Yeah, but I mean, everything after that was awful.
Oh yeah, when he left and he couldn't use the gimmick anymore, he just oh God, I don't even want to think back to that Starrcade 94. That was the worst Starrcade show in history.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. And that's one of those things that's like just proof that without a gimmick, some people just cannot make it. They cannot make it without a gimmick.
Yeah, you said, you know, certain guys, you know, they'll get a gimmick somewhere, and especially like in WWF or WWE, and they leave and, you know, they can't use it anymore. It's good. Kind of like you. I gave him some credit for coming back from his accident and stuff, you know, coming back and stuff like that, because
I give him credit for that too. It's at the beginning of the shoot interview, they showed a match of him in Japan when he was still wearing that face mask, you know, and and then it was like beating the shit out of him, and he's doing these like his wacky moves, you know, like his Beefcake, like fake WWF style, you know, goofy moves. And he's just getting whomped on by somebody. It was great.
No doubt it was a show that Hogan was on, huh?
Yes. Rey Mysterio beat Yuji Yesoroka.
This was weird because he was from the Ward promotion in Japan. And you didn't see many of those guys in WCW. You know, you just saw the New Japan guys.
He only did a couple of shots, right?
Yeah, I think this show and maybe a Nitro or something, but he was only here a couple of times.
Yes. And it wasn't a very, like, exciting Rey Mysterio match. It wasn't a very, you know, fast-paced, quick-go match. So
I doubt Ray ever worked with this guy before, to be honest.
Yeah, he didn't really know the style.
I mean, we've got used to, at this point, saying, you know, every week it's Psychosis, Ovi, La Parca, Super Calo. Guys, he's wrestled 50 million times, pretty much. So.
All right, so even though Rassid attacked Glacier, okay, the match for this pay-per-view was Glacier against Mortis again. It's okay, whatever. So, of course, you know that Wrath is going to interfere again. He does. Disqualified. He's, you know, Mortis is disqualified. And they're working on his knee because if he doesn't have his knee, he can't do his primary weapon.
Cryonic kick.
Yes. So they just beat the crap out of him. And then, and I quote, the world full contact karate champion, Ernest Miller, this is Ernest Miller's debut, rushes the ring, and he cleans house with these nasty-looking kicks, just beating the shit out of them.
Wasn't he Eric Bischoff's son's karate instructor? Is that how he got the job?
Yes, you know, because he needed all these crossover athletes. WWE gets Ken Shamrock, WCW gets Ernest the Cat Miller. So,
These crossover things, nobody's going to know, like, most of these karate guys anyway. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I honestly, besides, like, Chuck Norris and Steven Seagal, I can't
I know
any.
One karate guy. His name's Chuck Norris. That's about it.
Yes. That's all we got. All right. Man of 1,000 Holds, Dean Malenko, beats Jeff Jarrett, retains his title, and
these two guys were good together.
Yes, they did. See, Jeff Jarrett is such an underrated wrestler. People give him shit because he owned a company. He opened his own company. He's a world champion. The more people thought he deserved to be. When Jeff Jarrett was world champion in WCW, who the fuck else was there there? Who was there there? Hogan? Nash? DDP? At least the dude was young. You know what I mean? Did you want Buff Bagwell to be the champion? I mean, seriously,
yeah.
He was fine. He was fine in that role.
Yeah, I just my thing with Jarrett was I just never saw him as that caliber of a wrestler. I mean, he's a great wrestler. I'm not going to take anything from him. I just didn't see him as that type of main eventer. I really don't. Still don't. That's just
me. Yeah, I'm with you. So Chris Benoit. All right, Benoit was so great at this time because he's trying to get through the deal, but he could get to Kevin Sullivan so they could finally finish it. Because he's with Woman now. And Kevin Sullivan, you know, says, like, things about them. And he wants back at them. So he wrestles Ming. Ming is, like, one of the, you know, most dangerous people in the Dungeon of Doom. But Benoit has to go through Ming, you know, to Kevin Sullivan. So
this
what
is
they
like
do
a dream match for me. These are two of my most favorite guys.
Ming beats Benoit, which was great because it led to a rematch. So we're going to get a rematch with these two guys. They beat the shit out of each other in this match. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, and one thing about this is Ming might have been a lower card guy, but everybody can buy him beating Chris Benoit.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
He's a monster.
It was, I mean, awesome match. Like, probably the best match on the card, because I always thought, like, if they would have pushed Ming to the top as, like, a killer heel, he would have been, like, I would have bought him as a main eventer, and they just never did, and I don't know. I mean, what did you think he could have been?
Yeah, I think he could have been. I mean, still to this day, he's, like, one of my personal favorites. You know, yeah, especially, like, not so much when he was Ming, but, like, when he was, like, King Haku and, like, in the Islanders and the WWF. He was just so awesome to watch wrestle. I mean, he was just, everything he did looked good. And, and he actually got it somewhat, like, later on, I think it was, like, in 99, late 99 when Russo came in and gave him somewhat of a push. Remember when he was doing something with Luger, and Luger was wearing the neck brace so he couldn't put the tongue and death grip on him? Do you remember that?
Yes,
I do. It was like late in the year, and it was on pay-per-view. They were having a match, but Luger wore the neck brace, so he couldn't put the tongue and death grip on him, so he ripped it off and then put it on him and beat him 1-2-3.
And do you remember those pants he wore? Like when he finally switched to the big baggy pants?
Yeah.
And he had the afro? That was awesome.
That was great.
I was in New Orleans when he showed up unexpected for the Royal Rumble 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
When he was still the hardcore champion, you know, he left and came to WWF for the Rumble. I was there live. That was awesome.
Did you mark out?
Oh, yeah, I marked out. So that's not Ming, that's Haku.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good. The Steiners beat Conan and Hugh Morris. And
strange feud. Right here.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's trying to keep the Steiners busy while Hall and Nash are messing around the main event. Because Scott Steiner, by the week, is gaining about 2 pounds every single week of solid muscle.
Yes.
He could barely move right now. And
This was not the 1991 Scott Steiner that could do anything.
No, it was not.
Which is sad.
No, it was not. Yes. And afterwards, Conan turns on the dungeon. So he turned heel on the heel group. Okay.
Strange.
Yes.
It was weird he was in that Dungeon Doom in the first place.
It was very weird. Because, like, everybody else was evil, and he was just, like, a gangster. You know?
Yeah.
It was just, like, a wannabe rapper hanging out with the dark guy, you know? It made no sense. All right. Mongo beats Reggie White after Reggie White gets hit in the back with the famous Halliburton that he's been carrying around for a year. All right.
Was this match any good? I imagine it probably wasn't.
No, not. Because you got to think, the veteran wrestler in this match is Mongo McMichael.
But he hadn't been wrestling for a year. I mean,
no.
God.
And
shame
so, and this was also Mongo reunited with Jeff Jarrett. So now they're best buddies again. They are best friends again. And that was the semi-main event, people. The semi-main event was Mongo McMichael versus Reggie White. Thank God for Chris Benoit and Ming. All right, now let's get to the main event. All right, Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, and Kevin Green. Don't forget, a year ago, Ric Flair beat the shit out of Kevin Green and convinced his tag team partner to turn against him. But they beat Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Six. And the way this match finishes is everybody in a submission, you know?
Yeah, it's Ric Flair has Scott Hall like in the figure four, and Piper has Nash in the sleeper, and I think Kevin Nash actually pinned Six with like a power slam or something like that.
No, it was Kevin Green. Yeah. And
Kevin Green.
What it was they knew that. Like, I actually just learned this in that Sean Waltman and Kevin Nash shoot that they did together. You know, Friends for Life or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted just Six to lose the match. And Nash is like, no, if he loses, we all lose. So that's why they all wanted to lose at the same time.
And I think that's where Nick Patrick came back and he made the three count to rejoin WCW, right?
Yes, this was his return to the WCW.
Yep.
Which is awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
Seriously, I like that. I really like that. All right, so next night, Ric Flair comes out. He gets a huge ovation. Says that he erased all doubt that WCW is outnumbered. And, of course, NWO comes out with Six. He says it doesn't count because the wrong man's in the ring. Six says he could take Ric Flair out. And if Flair's got him, if you know, like, got balls, apparently.
The wrong man was in the ring. Every one of them was in the ring.
Yes. they smack each other in the face, and that's it.
I love Sean Waltman. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Sean Waltman's awesome. Still to this day.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I always liked, especially it's like the 1-2-3 kid, and I like him here. He was like just, I looked at, you know, like Hall and Nash and Six. They were kind of like another version of like the Freebirds. You know, you just had three really cool heels, and Six was like the Weasley rat, like Buddy Roberts, you know, that always gets beat and always does like the dirty work and stuff like that. And he was the worker of the group. He's got
Hall. Yeah, I mean, he was great. And he's also fantastic because he actually answered my question on New Shoot. I don't know if you saw it, Contreras. He did.
Yeah, well, I saw somebody put it in their SIG or something like that. Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Oh, no, that was the Maria New Shoot. Didn't you have one asked on that one?
On both.
On both?
Yeah, I asked the same question for every New Shoot. How big is Batista's dick? I want answers.
Well, now you can ask outside is Batista's daughter.
Oh gosh.
I watched that, by the way, the other day.
I watched it as well. Let's talk about it let's have a little bit of a break from WCW for a second. Ariel Batista, the daughter of Dave Batista, who is like, it's well known pretty much that she's a pretty big whore. I think she has two kids and she's like 18.
Jesus Christ.
Two kids 18. I mean, that screams whore. And she makes a porno with her boyfriend. And the best part about it is, like, on Twitter, she acts like, oh, that was me? Huh? How could you not remember sucking some guy's dick and fucking him in front of a camera? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things, like, I know if I videotape myself fucking some girl, I will never, ever forget that. Never.
Yeah, I mean, there's no amount of alcohol or anything that's going to make me, you know, kind of not going to wipe that out.
Okay, but even if you had that much alcohol and you were blackout drunk, and I'd be like, whoa, that's me in that video. Clearly.
If you show me a tape, I'm going to remember.
Yes, of course. Who doesn't recognize themselves? In a video. Dumb bitch.
She's a moaner, too.
Dumb bitch.
She's a moaner.
Yes, she is. She's a moaner. She is a moaner. All right. Let's get back to WCW.
Okay.
All right. Lord Regal wrestles Prince Iaukea and just destroys him. The Prince Iaukea push is officially over.
Yep.
Masahiro Chono is there. And he beats Squire David Taylor, who doesn't really wrestle that often anyways. And Sonny Ono comes out and says that he owes the people of Japan. And because he, you know, turned on him, next week, we'll have to fight one of his worst nightmares. I wonder who it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they also announced that when they first made the announcement that on the June 30th Nitro that a major star will be making his debut. They pushed that for a long time.
Yes, they did. And I'll never forget because it's Kurt Hennig and Raven at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And on a Monday Night Raw, it was probably this week or maybe the next week, someone had a sign in the front row that said, Mr. Perfect will be on Monday Nitro on June 30th. It was in the front row. And he had to sign up forever, and they never took it away from him. Never. It was awesome.
Yeah, I just remember, I figured it was Kurt Hennig. Just because he'd been out for so long, I figured it was him. And I didn't have the internet and I didn't know about newsletters and stuff like this. So I had no idea Raven was leaving ECW. So it was a shock when they showed him.
Oh, I did have the internet. And I do remember that Raven leaving. And I remember I was really excited and like, and it was, because I'm 14. So at 14, really impressionable. So Raven, like, even though I'd only seen, like, a Best of Raven tape that I got from RF Video, he was, like, one of my favorites. Because I didn't really, you know, like, he's, like, a cool ECW guy. And ECW's a small guy, so, of course, like, I loved Raven before Raven was even in WCW. So, and right after he got there, I was really excited that he was coming. So it was cool. I like that.
And also, I believe that Mike Tyson was supposed to debut on that show as well. In the crowd as a member of the NWO, just like a, not really do anything with him, just like a celebrity crossover, say he's a member of the NWO and stuff like that.
Mike Tyson, really?
Yes. I remember reading that in like an Observer or something like that.
Oh, that's awesome. J.J. Dillon comes out. He says that Nick Patrick has been reinstated as of 9 a.m. this morning. But get this. He's on probation for the first 30 days. Only 1 month. He turned on the company, made a billion bad calls, hung out with the NWO, you know, didn't do his job correctly. He's supposed to be a straight down the middle official, calls it right down the middle, didn't do that. He leaves the NWO, says, hey, sorry, I've changed. Let me have my job back. Right after he left the NWO, it was the next day, not even 24 hours, he makes 1-3 he has 1 month probation. I should have worked for WCW.
Well, it's wrestling. You know, people turn good, and then the next day everybody's all hugs and kisses. It's not, you know what I mean? People are too forgiving in wrestling.
All right. So this is great right here. Okay. My man Scotty Riggs, who I love, beats M. Wall Street with a sunset flip. And Wall Street joined the NWO on the same night that Scott Norton did. But Scott Norton was allowed to stay in the NWO, and Wall Street, for some reason, was told that he wasn't allowed to because he was under contract to WCW.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Wall Street says, I don't have to be in the NWO, but I'm still going to be anti-WCW. So on this Nitro, he comes out with a black, I think it was a black WCW shirt, or whatever color WCW shirt it was, with like a like Ghostbusters, you know, like little cross out thing over the
WCW. Circle with a line through it.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he says it's NWO for life. And Nick Patrick, the referee for this match, you know, doesn't let M. Wall Street cheat, so Wall Street loses. Nick Patrick got rid of his goatee, so, you know, he's got rid of that heel beard. So,
well, here's the weird thing about this finish. You know, Scotty Reeves goes for the sunset flip, and, you know, the Wall Street holds on to the ropes, and Nick Patrick kicks his arm free. Doesn't every referee do that, pretty much?
Yeah.
So, which I never understood why referees do that. Shouldn't they break the hold or something if he's holding the ropes? I don't know.
So weird.
One of those stupid
weird
things.
All right, Mark comes out. He's a NASCAR driver, I believe. And him and Ric Flair talk for like 10 minutes about giving away a race car. This is why WCW started going downhill. Stuff like this. Because even though they're a national company, and they are a national company, every once in a while they go back to their southern roots of NASCAR and all that bullshit. And they think everybody likes that, but not everybody likes that.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do with a race car? Sell it, probably, I guess.
Yeah, I would definitely sell it.
Not like I can go to, like, put it on the street and go to Walmart.
All right, the Steiners wrestled Jeff Jarrett and Mongo. And in this match, Kevin Green, who was just partners with Mongo's tag team partner, or, you know, group member, you know, didn't he hit him? Yeah, he hit him with a halberd. So he got his revenge back finally. You know, that big match against the Steiners that Mongo totally cared about, that he probably had 5 hours notice about. And right afterwards, he gets up and runs after Kevin Green with, you know, to the locker room. Immediately. He's got hit with a steel briefcase to the head. But, you know, he's fine enough to just run to the locker room immediately. And I don't know, stupid. All right, what are we going to ask?
Ric Flair defeated Dix by DQ when the rest of the Wolfpack hit the ring and beat up on Flair. Typical Nitro ending.
Typical. And was that the end of the show?
Let's see. It says Bischoff came to the ring and told everybody he loved him. said they're trying to find Sting to talk to him, but they can't find him because Sting is gutless, spineless coward. Says Sting should give it up, and he will never get in the ring with Hogan. If Sting was there, he'd slap the paint off his face. And Sting pops up through a hole in the canvas. And
hey, but you can't forget, Bischoff said in the ring, and someone threw a full cup of pops at him. Full cup of soda.
I love when that shit happens.
And everybody would get mad except for Scott Hall.
Yeah.
But and use it to, like, slick his hair back more. Awesome. Yeah. Hall knows how to handle things, you know. He does. You don't mess with that dude.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's really funny. All right. Let's go to the next week's Nitro. All right.
I believe it is 526.
Yes.
826.97.
Yes. It started off with NWO coming out. The NWO comes out. They always do. It's Bischoff and Hogan. And Hogan calls out Sting. As he's coming to the ring, someone has a Hulkster doll. Hogan kisses it for some reason. Sting doesn't come out. Then they leave.
Okay.
Hector Garza, Super Colo, and Hoovy beat La Parca, Ciclope, and Damien.
This might have been Hector Garza's first match in WCW, if I remember right. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It was, because Hector Garza was just...
He did that awesome, like twisting body press off the top rope to the floor.
It was so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like, those luchadors were so awesome. And of course, no one cared. Psychosis beats Alex Wright. Brand new heel, Alex Wright. Hey, let's push Alex Wright. He's a heel now. And
he's beat by another heel.
One heel beats another heel. This is great. This is great. Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this. All right, Sonny Ono comes out and said he has a nightmare for Masa Tono later in the show. And Ono asks, like, if he's interested in a deal. Psychosis says, yes, of course. And he walked away. Okay. Medusa comes out, and she's supposed to say, I'd do anything to get a chance at the title. But she actually says, I'd do almost anything to get a chance at the title. And apparently she's going to wrestle Akira Hokuto, and if she loses the match, she's going to retire.
Yep.
Yes, and he said if she retires, she could be a nurse.
Yeah. Or drive monster trucks.
Yes.
Which she ended up doing anyway.
Who could be, in my opinion, pushed as like a someone big in WCW, you know? They have this huge guy that they could push, but of course he's not with any clicks or anything. So he wrestles Mark Starr. And you know,
the brother of Yoshi Kwan.
Yes. Yes, he is. Conan beats Viano 4 with a Tequila Sunrise. And
I like how they had to put a number on these Vianos, like it fucking mattered.
I have no idea why they did that. And Hugh Morris tried to interfere, but WCW, they kept him back. So they can't keep the NWO back, but Hugh Morris coming out of nowhere to go up for Conan, they can't keep him back. So Hugh Morris, everybody else can run in the ring, including fans, but you can't see your pussy.
They had to have him come out. This is like a Saturday night feud.
Yes, it really is.
Nobody cares.
They talk about Kevin Sullivan being gone, and because this was the time where he was losing his wife in real life, right?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. Sonny Ono comes out. Monster comes out. And Sonny Ono says, here's your new mystery opponent. And it's the Great Muda. Immediately, Great Muda sprays his red mist right into Sonny Ono's eyes. And they hug.
Yeah, and this was a big deal because it was like 1 year to the day. It was like the Memorial Day episode of Nitro the year before that Scott Hall first showed up. So it was kind of a little significance there.
Who cares about the significance? The best part of this entire segment is Muda taking the disposable camera and taking pictures of him. So he's blinded on the ground. Oh, so great. So great. DDP and Kimberly, interviewed by Mean Gene. DDP says, there are two things in a man's life you don't mess with. One, you never mess with his family. Two, you never mess with his wife. Clearly, your wife is not your family. So...
So did Savage mess with two things or one?
I don't know. I still don't know.
DDP wasn't the best one. I remember he called they were calling the Undertaker the Phenom in the WWF. So he called Bill Goldberg the Phenon. I don't know what that means. Phenon, the Phenon.
Who called him that?
DDP called him that. Called Goldberg that.
Oh, yeah. I
Goldberg,
forgot
the
about that. The Phenon. Well, isn't like DDP like, doesn't he have like a learning disability? Isn't he like dyslexic or something?
I don't know.
He's Jack, baby.
I have no idea. I just remember when, you know, when people talk about, like, they got the list of their list of achievements or their list of accolades. Lex Luger would always say, "You've got a very long list of allocades." I don't know.
Who would say that?
Lex Luger. he would say like Ric Flair, "You've got a very long list of allocades."
And Lex Luger always comes off as like extremely intelligent. You know, I always thought he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured, you know, he would wear like a polo and have glasses on or something, and he'd probably read, you know, old classic novels all the time. Alright, the Barbarian comes out. This is when the Barbarian was rumored to go back to the WWF, but no, he beat Jim Powers. Benoit and Woman come out. Benoit said he doesn't care if Sullivan was fighting himself or not. He wanted him. And Jimmy Hart to the road to Kevin Sullivan was to the Barbarian. And Jimmy Hart said Benoit's going to have to face him next week on Nitro. The Giant wrestles Gary Flynn, Johnny Swinger, and Ric Fuller all at once and beats them. Just destroys them. You know what? That was bullshit. You know why? Gary Flynn and Ric Flair were awesome. They should have taken him down or something. I don't know. Ric Flair's a big dude, too. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
They should have been a smaller guy. Like, fuck you, WCW. There's no way. I'll lose the Giant, but it's not with these other two goons with me. Gary Flynn is a... And Gary Flynn's a karate master, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. Apparently he doesn't know the pressure points. That's how you get down the Giants, the pressure points.
Yep.
I don't know. This match pissed me off, though. All right. We have Luger come out. Luger's there. And he said that Hogan and Dennis Rodman needed opponents for Bash at the Beach. Him and the Giant are going to be facing Hogan and Rodman.
Yep.
That was great. And this was around the time where the Giant... His tights because he wore like the almost like the singlet with like the underwear type, and he's such a big dude, and he was gaining weight, so like it didn't fit him anymore. So like it almost looked like he was wearing a thong on one side; his ass cheek would just hang out. So just luckily this did not happen. Hall Nash and Six come out, and they said the Outsiders would be defending the tag title on the line against, or putting the tag titles on the line, I'm sorry, against Flair and Piper at the Great American Bash.
Yes.
Why would they do this without being challenged? Why would they say that? Flair is the world champion a billion times. Piper is a legend. Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's always stupid when the heels come out and challenge to put their belts on the line.
Yeah, you would never do that.
The other way around.
Yeah. All right, Harlem Heat beat Jeff Jarrett and Mongo because Mongo left ringside to go after Kevin Green. And best part about this, you know, Jarrett's in the ring. The camera focuses on a kid, has a picture of Jeff Jarrett, and he tears it up. Poor Jeff Jarrett. He could never get a break. All right. Hogan and Bischoff cover the ring. A fake Sting comes out. The fake Sting worships the ground that Hogan on. And Sting comes down from the rafters. Gives Eric Bischoff the Scorpion Death Drop, and he beat up the fake Sting again, and then Hogan left, and the whole NWO came out and circled the ring, and then Sting, the ultimate babyface, asks himself to the rope, and comes back up.
Why, Prince,
did they ever reveal who's doing that? Who brought him back up? Who's up there? Was it Luger?
I don't know. Maybe the people that killed Owen Hart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Maybe it was. It was, man. Maybe it was.
Well, hell, it took him like 10 minutes to get himself unattached and reattached to that damn thing. At least they took precaution.
Yeah, they did.
Because sometimes he'd be standing there in the ring still hooked to this thing, and he's got to beat like 9 members of NWO off, and they got to go all slow so he can get his ass undone from this harness, and always look really awkward.
So we are at the last Nitro before Great American Bash, right? Or is there? Oh, there's two more.
No, I think that there's another Nitro after this one.
Yeah. All right. Hall and Nash, they're in the ring. Hall says the Six. Hey, Six Pack, smell that? Six shakes his head. Yeah. It's because, and I quote, we're stuff. You can't say shit on TV, but you can say stuff. So, and he says the NWO is the reason wrestling is so popular. He says that he punked Kevin Green, Flair, and Piper at Slammery. They called out Flair. And J.J. Dillon comes up instead. Says that Flair's on his way to the arena. And a Hall had to wrestle him tonight. And if he didn't, he'd have to leave his WCW tag team title on J.J. Dillon's desk tonight. And then Hall, of course, being the professional that he is, said that Flair should get his wrinkled butt on down next. Nash isn't there for some reason. The main event push of Alex Wright being a heel continues as he gets destroyed by Glacier with a cryonic kick, so apparently that attack on Glacier's knee didn't really stick. Alex Wright was so great, man. Wasn't he so good as a heel?
Yeah, he was tremendous.
He just, you know, he does that dance, which, you know, the heel dance, even when he was a babyface, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he's just so great. Like, you know, he's doing the dance in the ring, and it's almost a disco roll, you know, but it's not because
yeah.
I was very serious at the same time. And James Vandenberg comes out, and I forgot to mention before, they stole Glacier's helmet. So they have Glacier's helmet, and Morrison Wrath, they come out from different sides of the crowd, and they start double-teaming Glacier. So, Alex Wright gets up, and he's going after Glacier too. And then Glacier fights them all off alone, right?
Yeah, I think Morris went to kick him, and he kicked Alex Wright, who was holding Glacier. You know what that is.
Poor Alex Wright cannot catch a break.
He didn't need Ernest Miller this week, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, he did not need him. Ernest Miller, like, teach his 12-year-old yellow belt class that day. This was last week of that, though. All right, Buff Bagwell, who hasn't wrestled in seemingly forever, comes out with Scott Norton. And he wrestles Joe Gomez, who's going by the nickname now Desperado. What a great nickname. Desperado Joe Gomez.
Yeah.
Seriously. And the Renegade doesn't come out, thank God. And they show clips of a movie, Roddy Piper's new movie called Swept Away.
Would it shock you for me to say I'd never heard of this movie?
No. No, it's a...
Piper had one good movie. It was called Body Slam.
Who, Piper?
Yeah. I love
Piper. They Live was awesome, I thought.
Yeah, he was good in They Live.
Yeah,
it just shows you how juiced up guys were back then. Roddy Piper was, like, bigger than everybody in this movie. Then you look at him in the ring against somebody that's even bigger. Like, holy shit, these guys are on some steroids.
Yeah, no shit.
My God. I mean, next to a normal person, he looked like freaking, I mean, he looked like Batista, you know, next to a normal person.
Yeah. All right. Prince Iaukea wrestles Hugh Morris. Hugh Morris comes out. Conan hits him over the head with a broom. Imagine this, okay? So, I mean, let's break this down a little bit. Think about it, okay? Conan is this gangsta from the streets of Mexico, okay? And he hates Hugh Morris. They're in a feud. So the only weapon that motherfucker can think of using is a broom? He's going to hit the man with a broom. Not a freaking, even a chair of steel. He's going to use a wooden broom handle.
He can get a bat or something?
Yes!
Being a gang member, I figured that's something a gang member would use.
Shit.
A baseball bat.
Can you imagine? Picture the streets of Mexico, okay? And some shit's going down the street. Conan pulls up in his fucking lowrider. He's like, oh, shit's going down. And out from the backseat, he fucking has a broom. He's going to fight in the streets with a fucking broom.
Well, to be fair, there probably are a lot of Mexicans in Mexico, you know, sweeping.
Yeah.
So,
oh, gosh.
I mean, you'd be like getting San Antonio and run them over with your lawnmower. Could have done that. That's terrible, I should have said.
It really is horrible.
I don't care.
Right. Yeah. The best thing is that the co-host of your other show is Mexican, too. I think he is.
Well, WWE says it's okay because they had the Mexicans with their lawnmowers, so I'm allowed to say stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right, man. All right, well, the best part about this is because it's not even a fucking just hit it with a broom. You know, if someone hit me with a broom, I'd be like, stop, asshole. You know, and then you just walk on. So motion, gets up, and he goes to the ring. And Poseidon Carey rolls him up, like, right away. And
there's a broom going to hurt a big old guy like that anyway.
No! No! It's going to piss him off. Hugh Morris should have won the match. They really, you know, he really should have won the match to prove that a broom is a stupid weapon.
At least Sid went to his car and got a squeegee. It had some metal on it.
Yes, exactly. All right. J.J. Dillon announced that if the Steiners win their match tonight, they're going to be the number one contenders for the tag titles. So Harlem Heat and Sherry come out and, you know, argue with them. And they want to say if, like, they win the match, they're also going to be number one contenders. So, you know, it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
All right. They have this, like, a little piece on DDP, a little short video, and talk about how people never believed in him before, and that he lost his first 79 matches. You know what? I bet you that's the fucking exact number. I bet you that motherfucker wrote down every single match that he lost until he won.
He also had him videotape. He also had him videotape, too.
Oh, DDP. So Chono and Muda beat the Steiners.
Well, I'm sure he won matches when he first started. You know, when he first came out as a wrestler, he was teaming with the Diamond Stud. They won a few tag matches. So maybe it's just single matches. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. So Chono and Muda beat the Steiners.
This sounds like an awesome match, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was okay. It was short. Though.
It should have been an awesome match, but. Maybe back in 91 it had been better, or 92 or something, I don't know.
So J.J. Dillon got mad because the Harlem Heat came out and cost him the match.
Said he's going to review the match. What do you need to review? You just saw it. Tell us what you think.
Said that how Harlem Heat does in their match is going to also have an effect. So, Mean Gene introduces Ric Flair as the 13-time WCW champion, which that is not true. Flair said that he is going to, about Scott Hall, he's going to stop a mud hole into your toothpick-chewing white honky ass. What the fuck, Ric Flair?
That's something Flair would say, too.
Yeah, I know. Toothpick-chewing, white, honky ass. All right, well.
And Shivani reminded everybody that the main event will be pay-per-view quality. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the match 4 days.
Yes, apparently, yes. Dean Malenko beat M. Wall Street to retain the U.S. heavyweight title. Because, you know, M. Wall Street losing the week before against Scotty Riggs, who had lost, like, his previous 400 matches, earned M. Wall Street his U.S. heavyweight title.
Well, maybe he filed a protest and showed him the tape of Nick Patrick kicking his hand off, and they said, well, don't sue us, we'll give you a U.S. title match.
Well, Jared comes out, tries interfering, and Jared gets a rematch for the U.S. title the next week on Nitro. And Mongo comes out and said, you know, this kind of stuff needs to be cleared with your partner. Jared said he's on his own, so, of course, they're feuding with each other again.
God, even when they're together, they're fighting.
Yeah, and then Jared said,
just break up already.
Yeah, they have, like, this, like, weird love affair, Mongo and Jeff Jarrett. I liked it, though. It was cool. I love the sexual tension between those two. And as Jarrett's walking away, he says, let's go, Deborah. And Mongo, of course, kept Deborah with him and talked shit about Kevin Green. All right, Sequel Fair and Damien, who are two pretty much nameless, faceless luchadors that no one cares about, beat Harlem Heat. And it was because the Steiners hit Booker T with a chair.
No way.
And so, of course, they still do this with me, where, you know, the people they're feuding with cost them the match. So,
yeah.
I think they're building up something between the Steiners and the Harlem Heat.
I think it's like a number one contenders match or something at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I think for what they were building up. Just something to give the Steiners to do while Nash play main event for another month.
Yeah, well, it was weird. It was weird that they picked that team to lose or to beat Harlem Heat. I wanted to pick one of their other regular teams, you know?
I don't know. They didn't care. They didn't care who beat anybody.
I mean,
it was Harlem
Heat.
It's not like anybody was going to – it's not like any of these guys mattered at this point.
Jim Powers and Hard Work Bobby Walker counted to me.
Well, you're stupid.
Thank you, asshole.
Sorry.
All right. Benoit beats the Barbarian. He comes out alone. Comes out with horseman music, though. he takes like a sick-looking belly-to-belly in this match. And just...
That's the one where Barbarian take him all the way up to the top rope?
Yeah.
And,
almost all the way across the room.
See, this sounds like a good match to me. I think these two guys work good together.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Barbarian was underrated. I thought he was a decent worker.
This feud is going to continue, the Sullivan one. Jimmy Hart comes out and said, you beat Barbarian, it's not enough, though. He said that you have to face Ming in a rematch, death match at the Bash, and also fulfill a yet unnamed requirement to get Sullivan. That's awesome.
I mean, they haven't thought it up yet.
Yes, that's exactly what it means. all right. Flair wrestles Scott Hall. Of course, it's DQ. Hall sticks come down. They made a huge deal.
This is where they
start
a little bit of the dissension with Flair and Piper, because Piper wasn't there.
Yes. Mongo comes out with a Halliburton. Jarrett comes out. But the damage had already been done. And isn't that pretty much it? Or
the NWO came out, Macho Man dragging Oakland to the ring. And Savage says he's the greatest wrestler ever. Oakland beat the Dipper and Savage physically threatened him. Dillon came to the ring and told Savage neither he nor anyone else is ever to put their hands on the announcer again. Dillon told Savage he's personally disappointed in him. Instead of facing Paige man to man, Savage is hiding behind a woman. And then Savage dick Dillon started stomping a mud hole in him. Bischoff and WCW security came out and pulled Savage off of Dillon. And that's about when it ended.
All right, so we got one more, right?
Yeah.
One more next. One more, alrighty. All right, this is...
The main event is Piper and Flair are supposed to be fighting the Outsiders in a non-title match.
Oh, this June 9th one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. They start off with a tape promo. Robin and Hogan. They say that they haven't chosen their opponent yet, even though Lex Luger already said that they're fighting them. So, okay. Piper and Flair, they're going to be wrestling the Outsiders, not title match. Savage Limo pulls up. the fucking pulls the door open. Elizabeth slams the door on Paige's back, and the limo speeds away with DDP just rolling around and Paige on the floor.
Elizabeth slams the door on Paige's back.
Yes.
I don't know why that's so funny.
It's wacky. Ultimo Dragon is now a face. He's also in mid-card duty now. Teaming up with Super Cologne, Hoovy to beat Psychosis, Silver King, La Parca. For no reason of the match, La Parca takes Super Cologne the chair. Luger does an interview with Mean Gene. Says that they're on an open they signed an open contract to meet Hogan and Robin at Best of the Beach. And
good thing Ciclope and Damon didn't sign that contract. We would have got them against Hogan and Rodman.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I guess the first person that gets to the contract can sign it. I don't know how it works.
Yes, yes. El Dandy. Sitting down El Dandy. All right. Yeah, Mike today interviewed Flair and Piper from earlier in the day. Chris said that there's no problems between
and Luger,
Flair.
Luger and Hogan are fighting tonight as well.
Yeah. J.J. Dillon said that since Hogan hadn't defended the title since February, think about this shit. Hulk Hogan, the world champion, has not defended that damn title since February. What happened to the 30-day rule? What happened to that?
Well, he negotiated it when he negotiated coming in his contract. He gets all this pay-per-view money, and he does it. The 30-day rule was like 90 days for him, probably. So maybe that's what it was.
90 days have passed. 90 days would be in
120 days.
Hey, yeah, 120. All right. Alex Wright finally gets a win.
You the depth they had, because they had enough people, you know, to work on top to where you didn't even notice hardly.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, I'm with you. I mean, that's crazy. To be honest, I hadn't noticed either. I hadn't noticed. All right. I'll try to beat Jericho.
Like, if I want to see Hulk Hogan wrestle, you know?
Yeah. I mean, no one wants to. No one wants to.
Yeah.
All right. Akira Hokuto beats Malaya Osaka following a brain buster. Hokuto was awesome.
You missed Alex Wright beating Chris Jericho.
I said it twice.
Oh, did you? I haven't been sound of heard
yeah.
you.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Alex Wright beats Chris Jericho. Hokuto beats Malaya Osaka with a brain buster. What an awesome move, I think. Siders are interviewed by Mean Gene. Harlem Heat, Sister Sherry come out. They said they didn't want to wait till Sunday night. So they fought a little bit. And referee separated them, of course. Conan and Mongo, it's a no contest. As Mongo's coming out for his match, Kevin Green jumps him. And the lights go out. Or the lights don't go out. You just see Conan in the ring. Oh, but this time with a broken broomstick. See, this also proves that Conan is a pussy, again, because he hit Hugh Morris the last week with a broomstick. It didn't do shit to him. He even went and finished his match like 30 seconds later, you know? But Conan's down on the ground. So Conan needs to learn how to swing that broomstick if he's going to be using it as a weapon. Then Hogan comes out wearing. It's a non-title match.
Yeah.
Luger.
I guess he didn't have to defend the title in the 120-day time period.
Yes, he did not have to.
And you know what the crazy thing is? He wouldn't defend the title again until August.
Yeah, I know. That's insane. If you look closely at the show, the heavyweight title still has the Giant's name on it. Ho Hogan told Luger.
Maybe
after the match,
maybe the nameplate was where part of the black paint where they sprayed NWO on there. Maybe if they took the plate off, maybe there would be like a big gap of the NWO word missing off of that belt or something.
Like they couldn't fix it. I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
Freaking 2 inches? You can't fucking spray a little paint right there? No one's going to notice.
Yeah, I know.
So,
Luger beat Hulk Hogan clean.
Yeah, beat him clean. And then, of course, they all attack Lex Luger. Hogan gives them a bunch of leg drops. And J.J. Jones comes out, said that since Randy's having attacked him, he'd be fined $50,000. I love these fines, like, in WCW, you know? Like a $50,000 fine. I think if someone, like, that's making, like, $50,000, like, you know, Joe Gomez, is like, you know what, I make that a year working in this shithole, and you guys are just talking about that as a fine for $1 million Randy Savage.
If they would have actually shoot fine people like in the dying years, they could have made all that money back. And don't tell me they didn't have no reason to fine people back then. People just wouldn't show up. They wouldn't do shit. Send them home and fine them $150,000. Just don't give it to him in his paycheck. You can make all that money back. WCW still be around.
Yeah. It's the truth. All right, they announced that, or J.J. Dillon announced that Randy Savage, in this awesome match, they get fucking 6 days billed for the pay-per-view, which is stupid. It's going to be a no DQ match, false count anywhere, lights out match. And Savage and Liz come out in the crowd, and he said that he's decided to spend another $50,000, and he's going to come down and knock J.J. Dillon out again. DDP comes out to defend J.J. Dillon pretty much. And he said, told Randy Savage to come fight him now. He's psyched about beating someone up. And it's an 11 fight. The cops broke it up. So, I have this Nitro still on DVD, okay?
Oh,
and Jeff Jarrett beat Dean Malenko for the U.S. title.
Yep.
And Eddie Guerrero comes at him. And since we've seen Eddie Guerrero, he seems to have put on 15 pounds of solid muscle.
Yeah.
He's huge. He comes out with a sling on, removes the sling, and gives Dean Malenko a frog splash out of nowhere. And then the match ends. Oh.
Yep.
It was not even
This was his, somewhat at the beginning. This is part of his heel turn, but it would come in like when he turned on his family and stuff coming up, it was more like a full-fledged heel turn after that.
Yeah.
And I never realized how great he could be until he became a heel. I mean, that babyface Eddie Guerrero was nothing compared to him as a heel. He was awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. So, Jimmy Hart, Ming, and Barbarian come out. Jimmy Hart says he's ready to show Chris Benoit. And it's Kevin Sullivan.
A mystery test.
Yes. Sullivan said there's no way Benoit could take him to his hometown. They find like hockey player.
Started from Singapore.
Yeah, I thought so too. Jacqueline jumps on Benoit's back. Ming pulls her off. Ming puts Benoit in a, what do you call that? The Tongue of Death grip.
Yeah.
And Sullivan finally pulls him off. They all start kicking him. And that was it. That was it. All right, so the main event, Flair and Piper. They beat the Outsiders, won six for fear. They throw a soda at Flair on his way to the ring. He's pissed off. They, like, Flair and Piper look like they have dissension between them, you know?
Yeah. That's what they're building up.
Then the Horsemen come out to make the save on Flair. Then the NWO come out. Then Harlem Heat come out. And every single wrestler are out there fighting whoever they need to fight. Even Glacier. Savage come wearing a long coat for some reason. The crowd chants, "We want Sting from the rafters to protect EDP." And they don't even, like, they don't even go after him. NWA doesn't go after him. And for some reason, Luger, of all people, just doesn't come out.
Well, he's selling the beating he took from the NWO.
You would think he'd want to try, you know, I mean, at least I would think that you'd want to try.
Maybe he looked at the monitor, saw how many people in the ring, and looked at their list of allocates and said he didn't want none of it. Maybe
that's true.
What happened.
That's true. All right, let's get to Great American
Bash. And DDP was wearing that long coat because he had a harness hooked to him. You know, he was injured down in the ring, and Sting came down. And Sting had to hook him up to – and the thing was, they screwed up on this because all of a sudden – the thing lifts Sting back up and lifts DDP too. But the camera wasn't supposed to be like right under DDP where you could see he had a harness on. It was just supposed to look like Sting's holding DDP in his arms. But they got the wrong camera angle. So.
There's WCW.
And there was a backstage fight after this between Kevin Nash and Roddy Piper.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, apparently, the match was a disaster, the Nitro match, and there have been some things Piper had said in his interview. He was, like, screwed up in his interview or something, and Nash was mad. And after the match, Nash stormed back to Piper's locker room. He banged on the door, and Piper opened it. He exchanged words with Piper and gave an open palm to the face, knocked him to the ground. Piper got up and threw a kick at Nash. Flair was there, and Flair and Piper's bodyguard were only ones in the room, and they held Piper back. Colin Six held back Nash. Nash told Piper he better not pull the improvisation stunt at the pay-per-view on Sunday. And Eric Bischoff then met with both Piper and Nash regarding the circumstances. And after meeting with both wrestlers, no disciplinary action was expected, as if Nash or Piper were going to get suspended or fined. And, yeah, that's what that happened.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
I've got to take Kevin Nash in a fight over Piper, as much as I like Roddy Piper.
It's possible, but you never know. I know I would have taken Sid over Brian Pillman just by looking at him.
I'd take Brian Pillman.
All right. Also, Dragon beat Psychosis in a respect match, because Psychosis, as you know, is now with Sonny Ono. So that whole storyline came full circle with Sonny Ono talking to Psychosis. Steve Regal was
a
for a while.
What the fuck is a respect match?
I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea.
That's like the computer match at Super Brawl with Dustin Rhodes and the tailor-made man. Nobody knows what it is.
No one does know. But Regal, who's been gone for a while, was injured for a little bit, which stinks. Harlem Heat beat the Steiner Brothers because Vincent interfered and elbow dropped one of the Harlem Heat. That's when Vincent is trying to recruit the Harlem Heat, one of the wackier storylines in in WCW history. Apparently, like, he figures, I mean, the only thing that these guys could possibly have in common is that they're all black.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, Vincent, he's like the whitest black man I've ever seen.
Of course he is, yes. So, like, so Harlem Heat win the match, and so it's going to be Harlem Heat versus the Outsiders at the Bash, I think. At least for right at this point right now.
Okay.
After the match,
I think maybe they're just the number one contenders.
Yes. Well, after the match, the Steiner's got a hold of Vincent and just beat the shit out of him and gave him the Steiner Bulldog. Awesome. And the feud that everybody cares about, Conan beat Hugh Morris via submission. And Conan knocked Hugh Morris on the top turnbuckle. Hugh Morris was like, so
Hugh Morris did what?
And Hugh Morris was knocked out.
Why was this not a broom on a pole match or something?
It should have been a broom on a pole match.
If Russo was booking, it would have been a broom on a pole match.
So, on a pay-per-view that people have already paid for, the public enemy come out, so they've been overlooked as number one contenders. They're former champions, and they deserve a title shot.
Who the fuck cares about Public Enemy? Jesus Christ.
Glacier beats Wrath because Mortis was trying to get in, and he hit him in the head with a chain that Mortis had thrown in.
Made no point for Wrath to lose this match. Wrath should have beat him.
Yeah, he should have. And Shivani admitted that Mortis was a professional wrestler in the past, and he thought the rules were too restrictive. So he went to live to fight in Bloodsport in Southeast Asia. I mean, who the fuck writes this stuff? Who?
Why didn't he just go to ACW?
Yes, right?
I mean, that's just, you don't have to go that far. Who the fuck
don't
want to go to Southeast Asia because I want to fight more or more violence in my fighting. Shit. Just go downtown. Just go to Philadelphia or something and go to the ECW arena and jump the rail and they'll probably make you a wrestler.
All right, so Medusa wrestles Akira Hokuto and this is the end of her career.
Yeah. And it was for like, what? Well, she didn't wrestle in WCW again.
No.
They actually stuck to this. I mean, she came back when they were doing stuff with Savage in 99. You know, she was just like in the corner. She wasn't wrestling. Remember when they had her and
Molly
Holly?
Mona, her name was. Medusa supposedly blew out her knee. That's the story of the thing. And she was so good at selling, man. And
this was the last we saw of the women's championship.
Yes. It was a really good match. For a women's match, it was great. And Bobby Heenan says, you know, well, at least you won't be standing on the unemployment line on that bad leg. I mean, it's crazy. All right, Benoit made Ming submit to the Cripple Crossface in the death match.
No, Medusa didn't wrestle again. Remember, she wrestled Ming in the first round of that 32-man WCW title tournament, the Russo book.
She wrestled twice on that.
You wrestled Chris Benoit, too.
Yeah.
Benoit and Ming.
Yeah.
Jesus. Hey, Chris Benoit beat Ming. In the death match with the Cripple Crossface.
Kevin Green beat Mongo. Jeff Jarrett went to give Mongo the Halliburton. or to hit Kevin Green, he hit Mongo by accident. And the best part of the match, of course, Kevin Green brought Mongo to the railing so his mom could hit Mongo in the head with her purse. Kevin Green was awesome.
Yeah, he was a good wrestler.
I mean, he really was.
Yeah, he only made like 3 appearances as a wrestler, but he was pretty decent in all of them. Especially considering he wrestled like the Big Show in like his last match, which is a pretty decent match too. So,
our Outsiders beat Flair and Piper.
Yeah, I think then Flair fought to the back with 6 and left Piper alone.
Yes.
And so they got the Razor's Edge and pinned him. So they still continues building up, you know, the heat with Piper and Flair. It's going to lead to them having a little feud.
All right, so we have Macho Man versus DDP. I think it was the main event, yeah.
Yeah.
Buffer announces them. Kimberly comes out. Obviously Cole's in the building. Gets the drift. Pace comes out of the crowd and attacks Randy Savage. Randy Savage tries using Elizabeth as a shield, but DDP just like threw her to the side. Savage threw powder in Paige's face, smashed him over the head with a hubcap.
It was a picnic area back there.
For no reason, he gives Mickey J a pile driver. Mark Curtis has to come out of the way. Randy Savage backs Kimberly into the railing. Then still there at the picnic area, there's flower planters and picnic tables and barbecue grill. They all got destroyed, of course. Randy Savage is going to pile drive DDP on the concrete. Nick Patrick stopped him. So Randy Savage, of course, punched him. Then he goes crazy, attacks a photographer.
I bet this photographer didn't know he was coming. Savage seems like kind of got the shit like that.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. DDP gets a diamond cutter. Nick Patrick starts counting 1, 2. Scott Hall comes out, kicks Nick Patrick in the head. Hall wants to go after Paige, but, you know, DDP got the best of him. And then Paige got hit in the neck of the head with Hall's title belt by Randy Savage. Gave him the NWA edge. And then flying elbow smash, 1, 2, 3. And then it was over. Awesome. Awesome
yeah.
Show. Great Rick and Bash. For like 96 and 97 were both just great shows.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Next week we got some cool stuff going on. We got the Bash the Beach, Dennis Rodman. We got Hog Wild again. It's a Road Wild now, right?
Road Wild. I think somebody was using Hog Wild.
Yeah, so Road Wild. And I don't know, it should be a pretty fun show. Pretty fun show. So we'll be back next week, of course. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to send your emails to support@blogtalkradio.com to stop them from charging money to force people into getting premium accounts. People do not want to do that, so, you know, hopefully that works out. And don't forget to check out our archive.
Stop the Nazis. Save the Jews. Something like that. I'm premium.
And,
I ain't going to get kicked off nothing, so I can say what I want.
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine, though. Don't worry, everybody. We will still be here no matter. And then don't forget to check out our archive, superfriendsuniverse.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will be back next Tuesday, our normal time, hopefully, unless something changes.
Yeah.
All right, good night, everybody.